Matthew chapter 5. Now tonight we're going to cover some scripture tonight. So if you got your Bible there, it's great. If you need one, there's probably one in front of you. Grab that. Matthew 5. I'm going to start with verse 8. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." How many here want to see the Lord high and lifted up? Amen. How many want to have an encounter with the King where it's like you're just not talking to yourself as you feel, but man, there's an awareness of His presence. I've noticed that in our lifetime, it's like we walk with the Lord, but sometimes it feels like there's a veil sometimes upon. But when Christ comes in, that veil is removed and you can finally see He's the Lord. I mean, understand that. But I've learned this, that I've looked through a glass darkly, I see darkly. So not the fullness of everything in Revelation I have, but one day I'll be known as I'm known. But I've noticed that the longer I serve the Lord, the more the revelation comes of Him. The more clear the picture becomes. How many are following that? You start to understand His character, how He responds to situations, what He does like and what He doesn't like. It's like that picture in my heart becomes more complete than ever. I believe personally all the days of your life should be a quest to follow God. Thank you. I believe with all my heart, I believe this, that God will reveal Himself to those who will seek after Him. He doesn't play hide and seek from anyone. You can be saved a week and know the Lord. You can be saved 50 years and know very little about the Lord. It's a choice that we have that say, I'm going to, as for me and my house. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity of heart consists of this, a steady direction towards the Lord from inwardly, from our hearts. It's like this, our innermost tendencies and direction of the heart is set on Him, to set on what's eternal and absolutely pure. When we apply walking in the Spirit, that means, listen, we're born of God. And since you're born of God, you desire those spiritual things. Before you were saved, you were just existing out there. But when you became born again, spiritual things started to matter. Or at least they should. How many realize that when you first got saved, oh, heaven opened up, man. You are so thankful you didn't go to hell. How many had that revelation? How many realize that, man, all of a sudden something changed inside. Maybe your speech got a little bit better. Maybe your thought life got a little clearer. Maybe you started looking and say, man, I'm so thankful I'm saved. You realize heaven is truly real. The truth is that that revelation came by that impartation of the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you have a new Father. Say amen. That means the dictates what the Father is, you become. Hallelujah. Now we haven't arrived yet, but thank God that seed is at work. Come on. The real me is in this casing. You see my casing, but the real me is inside here. You know what? One day we'll have a glorified body to match what this spirit is all about. Isn't that cool? This body here can only take you to the grave. It's earthly. It's temporary. It's like a tent. How many ever slept outside in a tent before? What happens to every tent after a while? They wear out, don't they? They leak. No matter how great it is, sooner or later, the environment we live in affects the tent. They stretch out, the seams get stretched, or you make a mistake and you leave it wet and it's all folded up, it gets moldy. The truth is that this body is like a tent. No matter how much you have it, it's sooner or later going to wear out. But one day God's going to give you a new body. He's going to call it like a building that'll never wear out. Isn't that cool? I love it. The best is yet to come. But while we're on this journey, God said this, I want you to have an inward heart that's pure. Not just the outgoing thing, but an inward life. When the inward life becomes pure, it starts to work out from our life. Now, I look at a child. There are certain things that children may be tempted to do, but there are certain things that kids aren't even thinking that way. Now, I know more and more our society is getting more evil than ever, true? But there was a time when there was some childlike innocence. Do you agree? Yes. It's slipping fast now. But the truth is, there was a time where kids didn't think something like that. They didn't think that evil thing. They just kind of went along. Hey, I wanted a cookie. That's what I wanted. Did you take a cookie? Yes. That was the biggest sin they had. Amen. How many knows that childlike faith was in there? As believers, we need to start to cultivate that we need that again. Not that we're ignorant towards sin, but that we're recognizing, man, I want to have that childlike faith. I want to walk in that type of innocence and purity. Not being naive, but I want to be pure like that. Amen? How many want to hear something and not even think evil of somebody else? Because sometimes we may not say it, but we can think it. I want to get to the place where that Jesus, when he was railed upon, didn't rail anybody. Because it wasn't in him. He always spoke the truth in love. Now, he confronted things. Now, he was never a wimp either. Say amen. You flip over change of money changers. You flip over people's tables with money. Don't tell me somebody doesn't get ticked off. But yeah, he says, it's my house shall be called what? Amen. When our inward life starts to manifest, I know this, more and more we clearly see the Lord. When that inward life starts to work in us, we start to see that, man, he is high and lifted up. This world will try to cloud your judgment. Just living on this planet will make you dirty. You have to have the washing of the word upon you. It can't be just a one-time shot. Now, I know there are times where you may skip a shower or a bath in a day. How many here have ever showered like you missed one or two in a week? Okay, the rest of you guys shower every single day? You guys need to go camping once. Change your outlook. How many ever camped and it was a couple days you didn't get a chance to shower? The truth is that it doesn't take long to know that you need to bathe. When you're around a bunch of people who haven't showered, you kind of smell the same. But somebody else comes in, man, you smell, all right? In my house, when I start the lawnmower or push the snow or whatever, that smell, that two-stroke gasoline smell, it gets on your clothes. Well, I can't smell it because I've been in it. But when I come in the house, she says, man, you stink. I mean, that's a reality. Now think about this. Is the Lord pure? Yes. Then we should not have the stench of sin upon us. Lord, I now want to come to you, Lord, clean. That's why when you go to pray and there's some things there you need to deal with, the first few words, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Yeah. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is checking you in that area. You're approaching a holy God. That means we need to be holy. It doesn't mean we have a practice of sin. If you sin, be faithful and say, Lord, forgive me. Change that. But I've learned this, even as Christians, we can get so calloused that we don't even want to deal with sin anymore. And then we can get to the place where we can even laugh at the sin. I mean, that's a scary place to be. We shouldn't go back to something we've been set free from. Is this good? When I look at our time, every time we have a spiritual communion, God is with us. He's having common union. I've learned this, that when I start to walk more pure, if you're taking notes, Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling, the riches of his glory, and the inheritance of the saints. When the more I start to walk pure, you know what? The more I can start to see some things that are there. Say amen. Pages are stuck together here. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then I shall be known just as I am known. When you leave this planet, whatever your relationship is with the Lord, that's how you're leaving the planet. When you leave this planet, what type of relationship and holiness you're walking with, you're leaving the planet with that. How many understand that? Sometimes people think it's a presto thing. Wait a minute, you're leaving this way. No wonder it says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Surrender your heart, because it matters. As your pastor, I don't want spiritual infants in heaven knowing that you're under this ministry. I want you to be a full age, mature in those things, because your reward is so much greater. Does that make sense? Listen, if you barely know the Lord, all of a sudden you have this abundance of revelation when you show up there, come on. You're spiritually immature. Lord, grow. Let's grow in grace. And all of us can grow. All of us can mature in those things. Come on. You know, you ever heard Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant? How many have heard that saying? Then why don't we believe it? I'm not saying you don't. Then you know what that means? It's going to be well done. You're going to be good and faithful. Because the Lord is not going to lie. He's not going to lie. You lived your whole life for yourself. You just were saved. You barely made it there. Great, I'm glad you're here. He will welcome you. But you're so babyish. You're so immature. Come on. How many knows it's well done, good and faithful servant? Notice what you become. Good and faithful servant. Well, what if you've never served a day in your life? Come on. The longer I serve the Lord, the more people matter. Is this ruffling your feathers a little bit here? The more I serve the Lord, the more other people matter. The more you become a servant of all. And you stop looking at being a servant, you just are one. You start looking at, well, I'm just going to serve because I got to put in my time. That isn't what a servant's about. A servant will come in and just do what they got to do and not think anything of it, not look for any reward with it, just wants to be that type of person. Isn't that sound like Jesus? How many want to be like him? Is this good today? Listen, as your pastor here, I want us all to mature in the things of the Lord. When it comes to our hearts, pure means clean and clear. But I've noticed that the longer I serve the Lord, the more I let the word work, it starts to wash other areas in my heart. The more clearer it gets. The more cleaner it gets. The more cleaner it gets. There is no stop with it. It isn't like you arrive in holiness and now you're there. That person's perfect. No, it's a continual thing. If I go out into the world, you know what? I get dirty again. Like that time the salt gets on your window. When you run out of windshield washer fluid, what happens quickly? How many of those, it just pushes that stuff, true? And then sometimes you have to drive a little closer to the car in front of you just to get some splash off their windshield so you can wash yours for a second. But the truth is, you got to fill that jug back up sooner or later. Come on. Now, we don't have too many full-serve gas stations. So you know what? You got to go to the store and buy it yourself, find out where the jug is, and dump it in. No one's going to read the word for you. You got to pick it up. You got to read it. You got to put it in you. Because you got to get some cleaning going on. Come on. Our hearts are like this. It's our thoughts, our feelings. They call it like our mind and our emotions. It's the sum total of everything we are. In short, it's every spiritual possession I have dwells in here. For out of the heart proceeds. Well, how many want it to proceed good things? If you still got some areas that are coming out that are a little wrong, start to put some new input into that heart and mind. Because sooner or later, it starts to work it out. It starts to change that. The input matters because the output will be shown. Come on. Look at verse 8. Blessed are the poor. Somebody say blessed. Blessed. Everybody loves to be blessed. Yes. Isn't that true? Yes. I want to be blessed. Don't tell me you don't want to be blessed. Well, how are you going to be blessed? Pure in heart. We like the blessing. But the other part, that's difficult. Listen, truly, you cannot handle all that God has with a heart that's corrupt. He has so many riches and glory. He has so much for us that we'll miss out on what he really has by keeping ourselves carnal or dirty or immature or. But Lord, I want to change that. Amen? Do you know God can speak a word to you at the grocery store? He can speak a word to you at the mall. He can speak, you know what? He can prepare even things in front of you like, you know what? That person really needed that. And somehow it came right in your path. Notice that Jesus always looked out from where he was to people when he saw the great need. Now, he kind of blew us all away like this. At one of his speaking things, there's 5,000 people showed up. That's a pretty good number for being outside. Plus women and children. Don't know how many were there. Haven't met a Jewish family that has one kid yet. Okay? So let's go a low number. Let's say 10,000 people were there. And he looks at his disciples and say, give them something to eat. They've been here for a long time. I want to feed them before they go, lest they get kind of exhausted on the way. And the spiritual bunch that's there, they don't have anything. So they find a boy with a what? A little lunch. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. What is that among so many? How many would have been that disciple like me? Lord, we have this for this. What's that one there? Wouldn't it be better not to feed them at all than to maybe give a couple people a lunch and the rest are hungry? In the natural, it would be like that would be, don't even break out the food here. Don't even tell them you're going to feed them. But what does Jesus do? Make them sit down in companies of 50s and 100s. He takes control of the situation. He looks at it and says, you know what? All I needed was a little seed and I'll multiply it. All God needs is a little seed from your heart saying, Lord, I want to serve you, and he'll multiply it. He'll take your little effort and boom, he'll do something great. Now, what if you now were the ones dealing out the food? You saw the provision. The guy in the very back corner, he didn't get to see that. But you knew that this is what all that was there. And all of a sudden, he looks up to heaven, he blesses it, and he breaks it. He gives thanks for it, and they start to distribute it. And not once did it end until they were finished. How many want that type of blessing upon? Thank God Jesus was pure. We can't afford not to be pure in heart. It allows us to see. It allows us to see the miracle as it manifests. It allows us to hear from the Lord. This is what God wants to do. And I really believe we're coming into a day where we're going to need those type of miracles again. Oh, that's good preaching. Come on. Have you looked at the world today? How many see the chaos going on all over? Nobody agrees with anything. It's people at odds on every level. The church needs to arise. But it can't arise being dirty. It's got to be pure. The world needs to look at the church and go, look how they love one another. We don't understand it. We may ridicule it, but there's something different about them. The church just can't be a social club either, like another thing to do. No, we're talking about serving the Lord. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. Come on. When purity consists, it's because it's steady in the heart and it's leading me in that direction. Man, I should be on a steady road to purity, just like all of us together. We should be on that road, linked together, serving the Lord. Isn't that like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ? Come on. How many of us, that's where we need to be? In the flesh, we do not carry this absolute purity. Only in the Spirit. In the Spirit is where I can be that pure. That's what's driving this. I want to be that. The desire of my heart, Lord, I want to be pure. Your flesh will not lead you. Your flesh will do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. You shouldn't do this. That's just managing flesh. That's taking bad fruit and batting it off the tree. I want what's coming up in the roots make the tree good. Everything you ever want to be is in Christ. Amen? When I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm born again. That's purity before our God. When he sees that spirit man is born again, he sees Christ in you, the hope of glory. That gives you access there. Your flesh is the only thing holding you back. One day you'll be liberated from that. But while you're in this, the Lord said it's profitable for you and others. That we can reach out, we can make a difference. We can share that gospel from this imperfect body. See, God's good. When my inner life is pure, my outgoing life starts to be pure. The more I start walking in that purity, the more it manifests more and more. Why? You get to see God. And I'm not talking about some shadows or some ghost. You get to know him intimately. You get to, man, this is my God. He's a mighty warrior. All the warrior angels aren't like those little trinkets you get on your dashboard. Or those goofy lawn monuments. Those are cool, but man, the mighty warrior is much greater than that. When somebody tells me, I saw this little trinket angel in my car, I'm here to tell you, they're mighty angels. You may have convinced yourself you saw it. We're talking about mighty warriors. One can put 144,000 to death in just an evening. Come on. We're talking about a spiritual battleground that's all over. More and more we're seeing it. In Exodus 33, verse 20, he says, no man can see my face, for no one has seen me and lived. Moses says, I want to see you, Lord. He says, no one's seen my face and lived. You're living in a body that's decaying. You're living in a sin-cursed world. No one can see my fullness in this fleshly realm. It's got to be by the Spirit now. But to honor him, he says, I'll put you in that rock where it's caved in a little bit there. I'll put my hand down there, and I'll make my goodness pass by. And when I pass by, I'll remove my hand so that you can see my hinder parts. How awesome is your God? When people make God to be such a little thing, such no, he's awesome. Moses couldn't look at him or he'd been fried right there. That's the God you serve. But he didn't want you to be afraid of him, so he veiled himself in flesh. Took on form just like us. But he was still all God. Come on, I want you to know your Father. I think sometimes he gets a disjustice on who he is. When he's mighty, there's nothing he can't do. We need to see him as our Father. Listen to me. Your Father wants to take care of you. He wants to be there for you. Lord, remove the blinders from my eyes. Lord, let me see you as you are. I can see the Father saying, Son, I want to feed all these. Can you see the Father saying, Son, I'm going to enable it. It's going to happen. Take it, break it, I'll bless it. Oh, man, what a deal. When all the disciples say, Lord, there's not enough, God will say, I'm just enough. And then I'm more than enough. If he's more than enough, you know what? How much can you follow? How much can you walk in it? You can walk as much as you want. And see, people that are holy and you're mature, you don't act like it. I don't do that anymore. That's you over there. Oh, man. If you were more saved, you wouldn't be even thinking that. No, it's not like that at all. If you know the Lord in maturity, you can look at a brother and say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. Got some areas to work on? Got to get you there. Jesus could have blew us all out of the water, yet he still loved us. When he says, I know what was in man, he did. He knew what was in man. He knew their thoughts. He knew their intents of their heart. Yet he still loved. Amen? Then he'd do this. He'd look at the tax collector and say, today I'm going to come over for lunch at your house. And the rest of them would go, does he know who that is? When he's talking to the woman at the well, knowing that she was a known prostitute. Jesus is talking to a prostitute? Oh, if he were a prophet, he would know what type of woman she is. He didn't care. Because you know what? What was in him was pure. I want to walk in that. I want to walk in that. You start to walk in that. You start to look past it here and say, look, they're in sin, yes, but I want to get them to the Savior. I want to see them see that changed. How are they going to see it if they don't see it in us? It's not a matter of finger pointing and doing all this goofy stuff. But Lord, I want to know you. Come on. To see God refers to a direct spiritual communion with God here and the hereafter. I don't want to wait to get to heaven to serve my Lord. Nor do I want to wait to get to heaven to know him. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book that you can know me. You know what? His character is revealed in the Word of God. His character is here. His countenance is here. Where he was born is here. Hallelujah. What's going to happen at the end of the age is all written right here. I got a copy of it. There's no reason why I should be ignorant of what's going to go on in the last days. Do you know this book has already determined what's going to happen? I read an article just earlier. China and Russia are getting more and more together and capitalizing on the chaos that's going on around the world. It says in the last days, China and Russia will be one that invades Israel. How many knows they're set up for it? Come on. We can be reduced to a third-rate nation just like that if we don't put our God back number one. He's what made us great. He's what made us great. We need to get back in that area and say, God, I want to know you. But the church will never walk in it if we look just like the world. When churches hide and they try to say, yeah, we're a church, but we don't want to tell anybody anymore. We just want to be a group of people, just an assembly. Come on, you're missing out. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Members in particular. Everybody with me? We're being perfected for an eternity. And one day we shall see him face to face. Oh, let that work be done. When I look at how much time I have, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I got a very short time on this planet, even if I live to be 100. Lord, let me maximize every day. There's no reason why I can't have some type of devotion today. True? Amen? We can all do that. And I know sometimes it's hard. You got this going on. But you can still talk to your Lord. You can still discipline yourself in that arena. True? Whatever you feed grows. Amen. I read this quote. Happy is the man who's born blind, then obtains his sight. But more blessed is the man who's spiritually blind, then he's able to see God. Lord, let me see. Revelation 3, 17 and 18. It gives a warning, but it also speaks some truth. It says, because you say I'm rich and increased in goods, have need of nothing. You don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you, buy from me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, cover your nakedness, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. When the Christian says, I need of nothing, Jesus said, you're poor, blind, and naked. Revelation was written to believers. Not to the world. It was written to the church saying, when the church says, I got all I need. I got good goods. I got a nice home. I got this. I don't need this. Jesus said, you need to buy from me gold tried in the fire. You need to get some white raiment to cover your nakedness, righteousness. And you need some eye salve so you can see. How many knows that we need that today? Sometimes the Lord needs to grab a hold of us and say, man, we're missing it. We're missing it. When the church is not walking pure, it's missing the purpose of the cross. Is this too serious tonight? Listen, we need God. Lord, change me. I am wicked without you. But if you get born again, that's the goodness in your life. Now I'm going to let that live out. And I'm going to start to renew this mind because it still has the old selfish ways to it. It's still carnal in its nature. And sometimes my mind and my flesh go that way. But my spirit's always serving the Lord. Lord, I'm going to feed that area. Amen? Amen. Whatever you feed grows. Yeah. Come on. I'll make this statement to you. What's in your heart comes out your mouth. Now, that doesn't mean just a slip or something. That may be part of it. But the general consensus of your mouth is what's stored right in there. Luke 6 verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. But the evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that is a true fact. Then, Lord, I want to start sowing in those things that are righteous because sooner or later, they're going to come out of this. Now, How many ever heard somebody praying, man? It seemed like they brought down heaven. The word was just flowing like, oh man, I could never pray like that. Anybody here? Do you know how they got there? By learning and walking with the Lord. Now, I know there are flowery prayers out there, and I've heard a bunch of those. They have zero power to them. But you can tell when a man or woman is locked in with the Lord. But you can be too. There's no difference between you and somebody else. You may not pray this loud or this way, but you can still have the abundance. I'm praying, I'm seeking the Lord. Because you put it in you. When you put it in you, it can come out of you. As your pastor, I never come to this desk unprepared or living in sin. I'm just being honest with you. Not that I'm all that, but I recognize what this is. So the overflow of a devotion with God comes out in the service. How many understand that? Well, it's no different where you're at. If you attend a life group, you lead a life group, out of the abundance of what you're possessing, you're going to give out. Then I want to make sure it's pure, holy, edible, tangible. Amen? That's why I always struggled with certain ministers that got to this high echelon of what they thought, but they never taught anybody how to get there. You enjoy the great blessing, but you never lift anybody up and do that because that takes work. Oh, I'm preaching now. It's easy to do that, but that takes work because then you got to change diapers. Oh, I'm preaching now. The heart is the newspaper, and the mouth reads what is written. In Matthew 12, verse 34, generation of vipers, how you being evil speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus made it clear. You make it sound like you're all that. You wash the outside of the cup, but man, inwardly it's like ravaging wolves. You flatter people with your words and you win converts. But you yourself are prepared for hell just like the rest. I mean, those are straight up words. Jesus was not a wussy. He spoke the truth in love. We need that. Today, we're so afraid to offend that we hide the truth anymore. Here's what Scripture says. Better the wounds of a friend than the kiss of an enemy. I'm not trying to offend you at all. But if the Holy Ghost convicts, then we should go, God, help me. Forgive me. I want to be more pure. It should be an alone time with Him saying, thank you, God, that you're still working on me. Come on. The overflowing of my heart is dribbling out of my mouth. I can't keep it in. Now, how many here have ever talked yourself into something bad? I'm not feeling bad. I'm feeling bad. I'm going to get worse. I just know it. And you just talk yourself right into it. It's like when you want a day off. And I'm feeling very well. I want to feel. It's amazing how a couple hours once you call in, how well you feel. And what you can accomplish. True? But how many ever pulled yourself up and say, self, man, you're get up. How many ever just said, you know what, today's a day that I'm going to shake, you know what, bless God, it's going to be a great day. I've had days where it would have been better if I stayed in bed. I swear to God. I have. But you know what, that's part of it. I've also had times of great intimacy with the Lord and then come out and seem like the whole world's arrayed against you and everything falls apart. But no one can wreck your time with God. Don't ever let the enemy think he can either. You can spend as much time with the Lord as you want. And in His presence is fullness of joy. You know what? You and Him can be as close as you like. He's never going to cut it off or say that's enough. I got to get with Ron. Stop praying. I got to get with Ron. You had enough? I have already answered enough. You don't get any more. I mean, that isn't what our Lord's about. He loves when you want to seek Him. He loves it. He's designed you for fellowship. Shouldn't we enter into that? Because that's how we're designed. Come on. He created man, listen, so we can be intimate with Him forever. We get the best part of the deal. He gets me and I get him.
Yeah.
But he looks at it, you know what? It's mutual. You get me and I get you. And I'm going to prepare a body for you so I don't have to be separate from you again. Can you imagine how it must have hurt the Lord when Adam sinned? Can you imagine the crushing blow when he looked for Adam? And if you understand the Hebrew back then, it was like, Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? He said, Lord, I heard you coming, and I hid myself because I was naked. For the first time, revelation of sin was in his life. Just like anything else, when we realize how holy he is, we'll have the revelation of how much sin I have to, Lord, forgive me. We need that at our altar calls. When you're praying in your time alone, pray such conviction that they'll see the Lord and confess their sins. I don't want just a boo-hoo segment and they walk out the same. I want transformation of life. That can happen, can it? It happened for us. It can happen for others. In Matthew 12, verse 35, you join us? It says, but a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. That's a good thing. That means, one, that we can have a treasury. That means there's a reservoir there. Sometimes you have to rely and go into that treasury for yourself and others. Oh, I'm preaching now. When Jesus healed somebody, he had a treasury of healing in him. When a miracle needed to be done, it was resident. How many of us, he could draw from those things? When somebody needed a word of encouragement, he could speak it out because there's a treasury there. Out of the good man, out of the abundance of his heart, speaks that which is good. Put some good things in there. Put the word in there. How many of us, Jesus knew the word. What did he do when he was tempted? It is written. The treasury was full. What are you going to draw on in those moments from the treasury? Does that make sense to you? Each one can only give what he's found in it. By nature, no man is pure. When we had sin in our nature, guess what came out of our nature? When sin was in our life, what came out of our mouth? Let me see the difference. You may have had 20, 30, 40 years of sowing in things like, I got a new treasury now. No wonder Jesus said, die to self, because it helps you. Well, crucify that affection. You know what? It speeds up the process. It starts to crucify that affections and lust. We still got it, but you got to reckon it dead. You'll be tempted tomorrow, maybe even tonight. God's good. When the Lord sees it, to him it's like, that's good. Anybody like barbecue in here? There's four food groups. There's ribs, there's chicken, there's brisket, there's pulled pork. How many see the four food groups? Right? But when the Lord sees in our hearts that it's right, in Genesis 8, verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not curse again the ground for man's sake. I love that when the Lord can see, man, there's something different. Noah must have been an incredible dude. He preached righteousness for over 100 years, didn't make one convert but his family, but he was faithful and he built a battleship in his backyard. You couldn't hide it, what he was doing. Neither should the church hide what they're about either. Come on, it should stick out for the world. Nobody doubted after the flood. And nobody could tell Noah, you're a liar. Every single one of them realized they missed it. That's just like anyone who goes to hell. You'll realize you missed it. And Jesus made it plain. If they won't listen to somebody now, they wouldn't listen even if somebody was raised from the dead.
Right.
That's so true. Just an extra experience doesn't really bring a convert. It may have a nice testimony. Maybe somebody may get touched by it. But it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal Christ. That's the only change we ever make. We like the stories. But a miracle doesn't keep you in the kingdom either. Otherwise, everyone who went through the Red Sea would have never backslid. They had miracles every day. We like the miracles. How about get to the one who gives the miracles? Amen? I want miracles to bring convincing factors to people. Wouldn't that be great? You come in broken body, God heals you, and then he saves you. Why not? He doesn't have an order. Do you know that? He'll heal you before he saves you. He'll save you before he heals you. I mean, is the Lord just good?
Yeah.
Pretty convincing, I'd say, though. Oh, I'm kidding. Amen. So what defiles you? What makes you impure? In Matthew 15, verses 11 and 12, it's not what goes in your mouth. It's not your steak, your mashed potatoes, your stuffing that defiles you. It's what comes out of you that defiles the man. For those in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices and washings. They were real. When Jesus came on the scene, the Pharisees and the scribes were so worried about their own sacraments that they said, hey, we're going to do this and be pure. Jesus said, what's coming out of your mouth is what makes you pure or unpure. Now think about this. When you got saved, what came out of your mouth? How do you get saved? You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. For the first time in your life, what's coming out of you is more pure than ever. It wasn't a cuss word either. You believed in your heart, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I confess you as my Lord. Notice that changed. Now purity now is coming forth. We need to have the word upon our lips. We need the word of God amongst each other. Now that doesn't mean we won't have conversations about this or this, but the word still needs to come out of our mouth because it's inside of us. I got a statement for you. America's heart is slipping. Its arteries are being clogged with self and lust. Lust for things, lust for people. We need a cleansing today. We need a heart transplant. We need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. My prayer is that the world will get sick of their sin. There's got to be another way.
Yeah.
How many knows that can be a work of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
The prodigal, when he ran out of resources, when he finally got to the place he was in the pig pen, he finally realized there's more in my father's house than what I possess. Man, I could be like just somebody that swept the floor. There's more there than I have now. I'm praying that for people. They get sick of where they're at. I need to change. How many of that makes good converts? Don't give up on people and don't look at the natural. The more I preach about holiness, the more I preach about purity, the more the enemy fights me and tries to take it in another direction. But you can't be moved by what you feel. Push past that. The enemy will try to get you to give up, change your position, do anything he can to say, man, give up in this thing. Don't put your say, no, as for me and my house, I'm going to see this through. And God will bless you accordingly. It's not popular today. Okay, I'll be nice. I want to make this statement to you. The Lord knows all that's in us. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, it says this, my son Solomon, know that the Lord your God, his Father, serve him with a perfect heart, a willing mind, for the Lord searches all the hearts and all the understanding, all the imaginations. But if you seek him, he may be found. If you forsake him, he'll cast you off forever. He knows all the imaginations. He knows all the thoughts. You know, Lord, then God, I want it pure. The trophy of any individual is their imagination. I want to make sure mine is pure. Noah's day was judged when every thought and imagination was continually evil all the time. How close are we right now? We're right at the bridge right now. But what about the church? It should be glorious. It should be pure. It should be, man, that's something I want to desire. It's something we all, Jeremiah 17:10, I'll close with this. For I, the Lord, searches the hearts and the reins to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Lord, then you're going to do that. Lord, then I know you'll search it out. Then God, search me. Lord, if I'm undone, help me. And here's what I know about the Holy Spirit. If you ask him, Lord, are there areas that I need to work on? Here's what he'll do. You're working on this. You're doing this good. You're working on this. This is great. Here's an area you need to change. If you look at the first three chapters of Revelation, he always told the church, even when they were goofballs, here's what you're doing right, but here's what you need to change. Because if the Lord just spoke it and blasted you, none of us would be able to take it. True? But it's easily to be entreated the word. So as a gentle father, he will speak it to you. The only time it gets heavy-footed is when you're a bonehead and you don't want to change. Yeah, right. Then he'll bring some correction to you. Amen. How many have ever been seriously corrected by the Lord? Whoa. I mean, it was like, he's been dealing with you. You didn't want to hear any of that. Hear it the first time. At least by the second time, do it. Because you get to the fifth time, he's going to help you. Amen? And if you have to learn correction in the world, it's a terrible place to be. It is. He still can correct you out there, but that's a rough road. Amen? Let's not go that route. You enjoy tonight? I'm only a little ways through this here. We're going to have to continue this.
Let me pick this up at another time. Thank you. Attention, Kmart shoppers. Blue light special on aisle 2. Trax tennis shoes going for $4.99. Get them there. You can also go to the counter there. The 99-cent subs are available.
I remember those subs. Anybody ate the sub at Kmart? Oh, come on, get that hand up. I remember the first time there was a blue light special. I was a little boy. And I was with my mom at Kmart's, and they heard blue light special, and I didn't know what that was. And I'm standing there in the aisle, and this lady brings this cart. It had a stem and a blue light on it. And she pushed it over to these items, and the thing's flashing right there. And I'm thinking, this is the blue light special? And they had like a little object somewhere on the bottom shelf was for sale. Amen. How many knows there's no blue light special with Jesus? We get all of heaven. Hallelujah. How many desire to be more pure?
Yes. Amen.
Then how are you going to accomplish that? I'll get into that later, but how are you going to accomplish that?
More word
in you, true?
Amen.
Lord, change me, amen? Amen? I've learned if I spend some time on me, I can go, you know what, yeah. Dawn, you got a speck right there. Kathy, there's a little speck right there. Shirley, I just seen a little speck right there. Notice how your attitude is so different towards people. When people are so judgmental, they got a dose of something. They got knowledge, but there's no wisdom with it.
Yeah.
Knowledge tends to puff up. Wisdom edifies. So sometimes you got to walk through that too.
Yes.
You'll meet people that think they know a whole lot and may cause you to have a little pain with it. Pour some grace on them.
Yeah.
Lord, touch them.
Amen.
Help them, Lord. Amen? Mature people aren't as offended. Because you know who you are.
Correct.
Hallelujah. I'm accountable for this church. I want you to be spiritually mature. That when I present myself before the King, I can do it not out of grudgingly, out of necessity, but cheerfully. Lord, these are mature people, God. Our lives will be benefited forever. Hallelujah. I know Pastor Matt will attest to that too. Glory to God. Can we close in prayer? Father, thank you. Now make it a desire in your heart. Jesus, oh, I want to be more pure than ever. Forgive me of all my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, if there's an attitude or an action or something, Lord, that's displeasing to you, help me root it out, Lord, from my life. And Lord, not only the empty, but refill it with your power, with your love, with your word. Lord, that there isn't just a void, but it's taken up with something powerful, mature. Lord Jesus, help us all in this room to desire to be more like you. You said a fool makes a mock at sin. Lord, we will not be that. But we'll confess our sins, and you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we declare tonight that we're going to live for you all the days of our life. How many is that your prayer? Lord, all the days of our life, we're going to live for you. And Lord, help us to live holy in an ungodly world. That we can shine our lights, Lord. That we're not going to hide it, but we're going to hold it out like a city on a hill. Cannot be hid. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we walk with you. Change us. As we close here, if there's an area of your life that you know, and you know you know, you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, work in this area. He'll be gentle with you. But ask him. Be honest with it. Say, this is going to change this year. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's an action. Maybe it's anger. What, I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm going to change this year from glory to glory. The Lord will help you. Bless your people. If you would, everyone lift your hands. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with them in strength and power. Lord, meet every need in each home. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time tonight. Have a great week. No snow. Spring in February. Amen.